Turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4, we'll continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. These are the churches he founded on that first missionary journey. He's writing to correct the problem. Remember, the message of salvation and Christian life had been distorted and confused. He wanted these believers to understand, to go back to the fact that salvation is simply by faith in Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law, and the Christian life is a walk of faith. And so he wanted to see that. Chapters 3 and 4, he deals with the message of salvation, but in chapter 4, where we're beginning today, he begins to touch on some Christian life issues. The key that we've seen over and over in this letter is that salvation is a gift by faith in Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law. And Paul begins to make a contrast in, as we get into this chapter, he's been talking about it, but the issue between a law, which is a work system, and grace, which is a faith system. The Judaizers, a group of people, came in after Paul left, after Paul had established these churches, and told them that you could not be saved unless you kept the law of Moses. In other words, trying to do good works would save you. And then they said that if you were saved, you had to keep the law of Moses. You had to live under a law system. They said Paul wasn't an apostle and that works basically was the way of salvation. And Paul writes to correct these issues. May we be clear. And that's one of the things we've done week after week after week as we've gone through the book of Galatians. We have to be clear on what exactly is the salvation message. Is salvation by works? Is it by what we do? Is it what we try to do? Is it our faithfulness, our goodness? Or is salvation a gift by faith in Jesus Christ who's done it all? Well, that's the second thing. This morning also as we look, we're going to talk about the idea that you look in the Bible and when you trust in Jesus Christ and you've received Jesus Christ, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's a Greek word. It's called technon there, and it means a little child. We're going to see today when we look at our passage that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we become adopted as a full-grown son. It's a whole different word and has a little bit different idea. And we'll see it as we go through our passage this morning. You know, in a lot of cultures, there's a ritual or some type of event that basically there's the transformation from childhood to adulthood. In the Jewish culture, it's a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. That when a boy or a girl gets around 12 or 13, they have a special time. A bar mitzvah means the son of the covenant, son of the commandments. That now they're like an adult and now they're responsible. In the early years of our country, we've talked about this before, that boys didn't wear long pants, they wore knickers. But when they got considered to be an adult, they wore long pants. Well, today there's an event that happens that when a child becomes an adult or when they think they become an adult, and that's when they get their driver's license. See, as we think about Paul, realize that he's going to be talking about the culture that they were in. And how did a child become an adult? What made that person that way? It deals with their clothes, and we'll see it this morning as we go through chapter 4, as Paul continues to show that salvation is a gift simply by faith, that being under the law, you're a minor. That's what he talks about. But being under grace, you're an adult, full-grown son, and we'll see it as we go through it. Well, let's think about it. As we move to chapter 4, we realize we call this what's known as a swing chapter. That means he's still dealing with the issue of salvation as a gift by faith in Christ, but he begins to talk about the Christian life in this one. And he's going to say the same thing, that the Christian life is a walk of faith. He said it back in chapter 2 when he talked about in verse 20 where he had been crucified with Christ, "Let no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I live by faith in the Son of God." And so the Christian life is living the same way that we have eternal life. Eternal life comes by faith. Christian life is a walk of faith. He is stressing those things, especially as we get into chapter 4. He's going to use an illustration from their culture to help them understand the contrast between being under bondage to law and being under freedom in grace. And he's going to make a contrast between a slave and a son. Under law, they're slave in bondage. Under grace, you're a son and you're free. Remember that in chapter 3, and we just finished that, Paul gave 6 reasons why salvation was by faith and not by works. As we go into chapter 4, he's going to deal with some of the same issues, but he's going to begin the Christian life aspect. Let me just show you the chapter. You don't have to write any of this down or anything, but in the first 11 verses, he talks about the contrast between a minor child and a full-grown son. We're going to talk about that today. Then Paul reminds the Galatians of their background with him, his former relationship with them, and he talks about when he first went there. And then he ends the chapter with an allegory about Abraham and his 2 sons. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. It'll be several weeks before we're there. This morning, basically, we're just looking at the first 7 verses, the contrast between a slave, a minor child, and a full-grown adopted son. Now, Paul is saying, you Galatians, You trusted Christ as Savior. You are saved. You've now been fooled. You've been confused. And you've gone back to a law system thinking somehow that saves you or that keeps you saved. Let me tell you, I see the same thing today. I see there are a lot of people who think that you have to do good works to be saved. They say, well, you can say talk about believing in Jesus, but you got to do this and do this and do this. You got to be willing to do these fallen things. And then there are people who even trust Christ and they say, yes, salvation is a gift, but how do you live the Christian life? Well, you better do these works and these good deeds, because if you don't do them, you either aren't saved or you lose your salvation. So there are people today that are under the same kind of issues that the Galatians were dealing with. Well, this morning, we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the contrast between a minor child and a full-grown son. Why did Paul talk about that? Well, we're going to see this illustration, and he really shows that the minor son becomes a full-grown son, and that's the contrast between being under law and being under grace. And let me tell you something. You do not want to be under law. There's so many people that they just don't understand it. Paul writes later on to the Galatians, and it's in chapter, a little bit later on, he says, do you want to be under the law? Do you not listen to the law? That's in verse 21 of Galatians 4. We'll talk about that later. Now, let me give you some background. In that day and time, there was, let's say, a man had a family, and he was a wealthier man, and he had a son who was 11 years old. And while that son was 11 years old, even though one day he would inherit everything from his father, he would be rich, he would be the head of the household, but he's 11 years old. At 11 years old, he was considered a son, but he was treated like a slave. He was called the minor son. And this father had slaves who actually told the son what to do. They would come in, they were called a pedagogos. They were called a tutor, which we saw in the last chapter. They would come in and they'd say, get up, it's time for you to go to school. They would take him to school. They would tell him what to do. The father would tell the slave, tell my son to go study. And that slave would go in there and say, it's time for you to study. So while he was 11 years old, he had to do whatever anybody else told him, even though one day he would be the heir of the whole thing. But then at a certain time, when he was 12 or 13, he became a full-grown son. And what they did is they took the clothes off of him that were clothes of a boy, and they wrapped him in new clothes. And from that point on, he was considered a full-grown son. And the slaves didn't boss him around anymore. Nobody came in and told him to go to school. In fact, he told them what to do. So he moved from being a minor to being a full-grown son. Now, this happened at the age when, set by the father, the son would move from being a minor to being a full-grown son. And he put the clothes of a boy to the clothes of a man. No longer a slave, but free as a man, as a full-grown son. Now, we've already seen this a little bit, because you may realize in your own life that before you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you were a slave to sin and death. And when you trust in Christ as Savior, he takes you and you become a full-grown son of God. And that's what we're going to see in this passage. Paul talked about it back in chapter 3 when he says, for you were baptized into Christ, you have been clothed with Christ. You put on the new clothes. I want you to think about this. As a minor child, when they became a full-grown son, they put on new clothes. And us, by faith in Jesus Christ, we go from being slaves and minors to full-grown sons of God. This is the example that Paul uses. And he shows that when a person puts themselves under law, whether it's for salvation or for Christian life, they've gone back to be a slave. When one comes to Christ, you're no longer under law. Look what he says. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Paul says, now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he's the owner of everything. Now Paul puts it this way. He says, as long as this heir, the one, the little boy, as long as he's a child, he's no different from a slave. I mean, they tell him what to do, even though he's the owner of everything. See, that little 11-year-old boy owns everything, and yet the slave could come in and say, go do this. And so he says, as long as the heir, as long as he's a child, he's no different than a slave, even though he owns everything. And he's going to inherit everything. But he goes on to say, but he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. Remember that we said that one day the Father would come in and say, now it's time for you to be a full-grown son. And they would change the clothes. He would be a full-grown son. And then those slaves would not come tell him what to do anymore because he's no longer under their authority. And just like the law showed us sin and death and pointed us to Christ, once we trust Christ, the law has no more authority over us. It says, but he's under guardians and managers. One of the words for guardians, one of the words for managers is oikonomos, which means the ruler of the house. There was usually a slave that told everybody what to do except the boss, except the main man. It says, until the date set by the Father. Now, Paul knows that they know exactly what he's talking about. So then he's going to use the analogy for us. Look what he says. So also we, while we were children, that was before we trusted Christ, we were in bondage under the elemental things of the world. That's the law system, the rights and wrongs and all that. Listen, but we were children. We were minors before salvation, but after salvation, we become full grown. See, we were in bondage. See, what did the law tell us? Anytime you said, I'm going to try to get to God by being good, the law said what? You're not good. You can't keep it. Anytime a person says you try to live a good life to get to God, I'm going to try to keep the Ten Commandments. You can't keep them. I'm going to try to do this. You can't do it. I'm going to try to be a good person. You can't do it. The law is your master, and it's over you, and it's sin and death. But the moment you come to realize that you can't keep the law, you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, as we saw in chapter 3, you now become a full-grown adopted son, and you look at the law and say, you don't boss me around anymore. I'm not under the law. It's beautiful. Look what he says. So also we, when we were children before salvation, we were in bondage under the elemental things of the world. We were in bondage under law. We were in bondage. And when he says we, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. Jews always had the Mosaic law. The Gentiles, the pagans and the false gods and all of the laws that they had. And before salvation, every one of us were like a minor child under a guardian, the law system working to get to God. But what happened? Now remember what we said? That it was the time appointed by the Father. Notice this, God's appointed time. Look at verse 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law. At exactly the right time. It's as if God said, okay, it's time. You're now ready to be full-grown children. So I'm going to send my son to deal with all of the issues. And look what he says. But when the fullness of time came, we'd say exactly at the right time. And people talk about when the time when Jesus Christ came. And I actually used these two verses at Christmas time because you can make this a message about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Because when the fullness of time came, God sent forth a son at exactly the right time. God sent Jesus into the world. We call that Christmas. We call that the incarnation. Jesus Christ came and was born into this world. God sent forth his son. People say, what do you mean at the right time? Well, it was always the right time. The Old Testament was complete. The law had done its purpose. The Jews were scattered throughout the world. There was one language in Rome and one way to get the message out. So at exactly the right time, God sent his son. Now, notice what he says, because there's two things. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, two things. Born of a woman, born under the law. Let's talk about it. Born under a woman. You know what? Born of a woman, that means he became a human being. Something that a lot of people don't think about always. You understand that God the Father is a spirit being. He's always been a spirit. John 4:24, God is the spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God the Father is a spirit being. God the Holy Spirit is, guess what? Holy Spirit. He's a spirit being. Jesus Christ, for all eternity, go all the way past, he's a spirit being. And then at a point in time in history, when the fullness of time came, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to leave the glories of heaven and become a person, the God-man, So Jesus Christ isn't a spirit being anymore. He's still God. He's the God-man. He's a unique one. The Father is a spirit being. The Holy Spirit is a being, spirit being. But Jesus Christ is a human being. He's perfectly God and perfectly man. Perfect in all the way you could name it. But he is that. And so at exactly the right time, born of a woman, Jesus Christ became a person. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Philippians 2 says he left the glories of heaven to become a human being. Now, I have to tell you, for God, that's a pretty big step down to become a human being. But he's the God-man. There's nobody like him. That's why there's only one mediator between God and men. It is the man, Jesus Christ, who's both God and man. That's why he's the mediator. And so at exactly the right time, Jesus became a person. Well, but there's more. There's more. It says that he was born of a woman, but born under the law. Actually, in the Greek, it doesn't say born under the law. It says born under law. Now, he's talking about Jesus did come as a Jew and come under the law system, but the Mosaic law. But there's a law out there for whether you're under Mosaic or not. There's the law written in our hearts, which is our conscience. There's all the rights and wrongs. So there's a law system out there that shows people they can't keep it. That's what we talked about several weeks ago. So, here comes Jesus, and exactly the right time, God sent forth his son, Jesus, born of a woman, and we'd say that's when Jesus came into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, and then he grew up, and born under law. You know what's amazing? The Mosaic Law has 613 commandments. 613. Jesus Christ kept every commandment perfectly. Nobody's ever done that. Of course, he can do it because he's God. And when he came into this world, he kept the law perfectly. That's why it says he came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. And he fulfilled it in two ways. One, he kept it perfectly. Number two, he paid the penalty of the law because the wages of sin is death, and he died for us. Now, I want you to see something, and this is what makes this so amazing, that when the exact right time came, God sent forth the Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that, as we look at verse 5, here's the purpose, and there are two things. Notice what he says, so that he might redeem those who were under law, that we might receive, notice carefully, the adoption as sons. Two things. Why did he come? To redeem us and to adopt us. And I want you to see that. Look at this. So that he might redeem those who are under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. First, redemption. Redemption means to pay a price. To redeem means to purchase by paying a price. The wages of sin is death. We owed God death. Jesus Christ came down and purchased us, bought us. The word redeem means to buy. If you went to the store and you bought some coffee and you took it up to the deal and you said, I want to buy this coffee, they say $10. You give them $10. You just redeemed it. You purchased it by paying a price. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and purchased every person. He redeemed us. He bought us. In fact, we were in the slave market of sin, and this word actually means to purchase out of the slave market. And we were slaves to sin. Remember, as the minor, we're slaves. It says we're no different than a slave. We were slaves of sin and death, and Jesus Christ came and said, I'm buying you out of the market. I'm purchasing you. See, the law is a curse. Curses at everyone who does not do everything written in the law. Jesus Christ came to the earth, became a human being to purchase us. There's an old saying that says this, the birth of Christ brought God to man. The cross of Christ brings man to God. When Jesus was born, that's God coming to man. When Jesus dies on the cross, that's Christ bringing man back to God. But there's a second thing that he did. Not only did he redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, this is one Greek word that means place as a son. It's unusual. It's not used hardly any other places. It was at that culture that you said, my son has now become a full-grown son. He was called the adopted full-grown son. Now, sometimes people would go outside and they would see someone who was an orphan or somebody, and they would say, first of all, purchase this boy and adopt him as my full-grown son. They could do that. Sometimes it was the son in the household that when he got that certain age, they were adopted as a son. And so they went from the minor slave under bondage and law to a full-grown son, freedom and heir. And we were minors and slaves under law, and now we're full-grown sons and heirs. In Galatians 3:26, you are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We are full-grown sons. Now, let me tell you something that's unique. We all know the verse, John 1:12. As many as received them, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, right? John 1:12. The word for son there, the word for children there is a Greek word called technon. It just means a little person, a child. This is not the word that's used here. It says that you might receive the adoption as sons. And this word, adoptive sons, means a full-grown son. It means they changed clothes. We had the clothes of a slave. We were dead in sin. We were destined for the lake of fire. We trusted in Jesus Christ, and he redeems us and changes our clothes, and now we're a full-grown son of God. We've been adopted as sons. That's who we are. We're not just God's children. We're full-grown sons as heirs of God. See, if you're the child, you're not the heir. You're the heir, but you ain't got anything yet. But you're a full-grown son. You got it all. And he's showing them the contrast that to go to a law system is the same as going back as a minor and into slavery. And he's saying to the Galatians, you trusted Christ, you have eternal life, you're saved forever. Now you've gone back under a law system. You've gone back like you're a slave and a minor instead of a full-grown son of God. And there are Christians that trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And as after they trust Christ, somebody confuses them and they think they're under some kind of law system for the Christian life. And what they've done is they've gone and put themselves back under a slavery system rather than a grace system. It happens all the time. Let me tell you what I see. I see out there either people who are not Christians, and people are coming to them saying, if you want to be saved, you must repent of this, do this, turn from this, do this, do this, do this, keep on doing this, and then you could be saved. That's what they told the Galatians, but they were already saved. And then there are people who, when they do trust Christ, they put them under such a bondage system that oftentimes they quit. I have to tell you this story. I trusted Christ when I was 19 years old. And I understood that it was faith alone and Christ alone plus nothing. But I did not understand the Christian life. I didn't know the Christian life. I've trusted Christ. I'd never gone to church anyway. And even after I trusted Christ, I didn't really grow very much for a while. And I remember in college, waking up in the morning and saying, oh boy, okay, I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to do what's right today. And it wouldn't be very long. I'd be messed up already, right? Over and over. Because I didn't understand the Christian life. I thought the Christian life was rules. And I remember one time, this is going to sound bad, but I was laying in the bed, and I said, I wish I'd never heard about this salvation stuff, because at least I wouldn't be killing myself trying to live a good life now that I'm saved. I didn't understand that the Christian life was a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. And somebody began later to teach me. And now I moved from a law system to a grace system. In the same way that I was saved by grace through faith, that's how you live the Christian life, a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to see it more when we get over to chapter 5. He's going to talk about walking in the Spirit. He's going to get more details. So to go to a law system is going back as if you're not saved, is what it really boils down to. If they go back to the law, and he's telling the Galatians, if you go back to the law, you're acting like children under bondage instead of living like a full-grown son. And then look at verse 6. He says, but you're sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He says, you're no longer under law, you're sons. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, crying out. And what does he cry out? Abba, Father. Listen, you don't need a law system. You got the Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. That's why when you get to Galatians chapter 6, he'll say, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says it over and over and over. Man, look, this is something special. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. We get to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. It's an Aramaic word. It means daddy. Now, most of the time when we talk about Abba, Father, we always say in things like, we want our little children to go, say Abba, say daddy first. I want them to say daddy first. But Abba, Father was not what the minor son called his daddy. Abba, Father is what the full-grown son called his daddy. Look, it was a term used for the full-grown son to the father. He says, because you're adopted sons of God, you can now cry, what? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba was the term used by the full-grown child. I want you to see something. I want you to hold your place. Just hold your place and go to Romans chapter 8. Just a few chapters, few books back in the Bible toward the front to Romans chapter 8. You have to see these verses. So take the time to turn there. You just got to see this. We'll be through in just a second. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 15. Notice what Paul tells the Romans. It's exactly the same thing. Romans 8, verse 15. He says, you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Why? You're not a slave. But what have you received? You have received a spirit of adoption as sons. Exact same words. By which we cry out. What do we say? Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit we're children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we might be glorified with him. Go back to Galatians. Do you hear what he says? He says, you're not a slave. You're a son. And if you put yourself under law, Galatians, or you put yourself under law, any of you in this room, you're gone back like a slave instead of a full-grown son of God. That's who you are. Therefore, look at the summary, therefore, you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if a son, an heir through God. See, you're a slave before you're saved. And now you're a son. And the truth is this, when you put yourself under law, you're acting like a slave. Look at this right here. We're son and heir. We're full grown. We're no longer under law. We're under grace. We're no longer under bondage. We're free. We're no longer a minor. We're a full grown son. We're no longer a slave. We're an heir of God. And if you go under law, you're denying who you are and you're putting yourself under a slave. We are not under law. When under a law, a person's living like a slave, a minor like they used to be, instead of living as a son. By faith in Jesus Christ, we are adopted full-grown sons of God. We're not under the law either for salvation or the Christian life. We'll get to it later. What have the Galatians done? Listen to this. Chapter 4, verse 9. But now that you've come to know God, or rather be known by God, how is it that you turned back to the weak and worthless things? You observe days and months and seasons and years. He said, what have you done? You've gone back under law. Verse 21 of chapter 4 says, tell me, do you want to be under law? Do you not listen to the law? Paul led them to faith in Jesus Christ. They're now children of God. The Judaizers have put them back under law, and they're living like slaves. And so many people do the same thing. And I've said it already twice this morning, but I see us day in and day out. Either people are trying to keep the law to be saved, or they're trying to keep the law as a saved person. And if they don't keep it, either they think they never had it, or they think they lose it. And both are wrong. We're saved by faith. We must live by faith. Let me give you some quick applications so we'll be through. Think about this. We're not under law as a minor child. We're under grace as a full-grown child. They put themselves under the law. Let's understand that we are adopted full-grown sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus came and died on the cross to redeem us, to pull us out of the slave market, to adopt us as full-grown sons. So what do? We live as sons and not slaves. Let's go and live as children of God. Let's don't put ourselves under a law system, either to be saved or to stay saved. Don't get mixed up. There are people who are Christians who are trying to do all kind of rules and laws, and they can't measure up, and they're questioning whether they're saved, and it just is a horrible thing. Those of us who've trusted Christ, let's live as full-grown sons. Understand that our inheritance, understand what our inheritance is as full-grown sons. You know what it is? We have the Holy Spirit, and we get to call God Abba Father. It's a grown relationship. And finally, last but not least, look at this. understand God's plan in Jesus Christ. What did he do? He redeemed us. He came to redeem us and to adopt us as full-grown sons of God. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. We are redeemed and we are adopted. May we live as full-grown sons and not slaves. We call God our Father, Abba, and we're heirs as full-grown sons. Let's